Is love ever what we expect it to be? Romantic passion waxes and wanes, and even couples in stable marriages struggle to keep the connection alive. Sometimes it seems we're all looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, now psychologist Barbara Fredrickson offers a radically new science-based definition of love, which seems to prove that, to quote another song, love is all around. Fredrickson is a leading researcher on positive emotions at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Last year, she told Jim Fleming that
love is that moment of connection that you feel when you look into someone's eyes, you're feeling the same way, and you momentarily have a sense of mutual concern for one another. Now, that kind of a moment can happen between you and your soulmate or you and a complete stranger. They're good for the body and they're good for our relationships. They're sort of the building blocks of many other things.
How do I know when one of these moments is happening?
When you get the sense that you and another person are on the same page or on the same wavelength or really connecting, all emotions, by definition, are potent mind and body events, changing your biochemistry, changing your gestures, changing your neural firings. And when two people are experiencing this micro moment of connection, then there's something very interesting unfolding across two brains and bodies at once. People's neural firings become synchronized. Their gestures become synchronized. Their biochemical reactions become synchronized to the point where it becomes a real open question. Is this love happening for just one person, or is it something that's happening across two brains and bodies at once?
I mean, I've had experiences like this. I have images in my mind of my grandson arriving at the house and throwing his arms wide, and I can feel the whole world start to open up.
Exactly.
Is it also that same thing that's happening if I smile at a stranger on the street and they smile back?
That's a milder version, I would say, yeah, because a smile comes with a certain brain activation behind it. And when you catch somebody else's smile, you're mirroring not just what muscle movements are showing up on your face. There's a deeper mirroring going on where your brain activation is more similar to each other than it was a moment before that smile occurred. So that smile on the street is a smaller, milder version of the connection you feel with your grandson when he runs towards you with a hug.
Does it bother you at all to use the word love to cover all of these things?
You know, it is difficult to take on a word like love because people have so many strong pre-existing views of it, hard-won views, you know, that come from personal experience and just absorbing our cultural messages as well. And so I see these micro moments of connection as being the real heart of a broader love system. And they're the actionable pieces. You can actually decide, I want to feel more connected with people today and make a change in how you interact with people and achieve that. Whereas if you say, well, I want more love relationships today, that's going to be tougher to act on.
What you're talking about is an improved sense of positive relationships with people. It's both bigger and smaller.
Right, I agree. It's bigger in terms of our potential to have some control about whether and when we feel these states. And it's smaller because it takes love off that pedestal of being high romance or only reserved for our loved ones. And it says, no, actually, love is something about how we connect with people, everybody. But I don't think it's important that people use the L word. What I think is important is that we see these micro moments of positive connection as nourishment, you know, a way to connect and a way to be giving and a way to make ourselves and others healthier.
I want to talk about those physical responses to love because it sounds as though you're saying we will be healthier with greater moments of happiness, of positive
connection. Positive connection with others. We've known for decades that people who have experiences of more positive emotions and more social connections are healthier and live longer. But one of the great mysteries has been, how is it that those feelings get under the skin and literally make us healthier? Vagal tone is something that we've done quite a bit of research with. And that is the 10th cranial nerve that connects your brain to your heart and other internal organs. It's good for you to have high vagal tone. And it signals flexibility and adaptability in how our body regulates internal biological systems and how our minds regulate attention and emotion. It's really a good predictor of both psychological and physical health. Improvements in vagal tone offers one window into understanding that mystery, into seeing, oh, this is how those feelings affect health over the long term. And now my research team is actually looking at changes in gene expression in the immune system, seeing how your white blood cells change in step with experiencing greater frequency of micromoments of positive connection.
The redefinition of love you've presented in some ways bursts the popular myths about love, that it is only between two people or that it's a lasting state.
Right, right. And so we can see the importance in our cherished relationships of making sure we keep the gateways open to experiencing continued positive shared moments rather than just resting on our laurels and thinking, you know, yeah, he told me he loved me 20 years ago. It still stands. We need to rekindle these moments as often as we can to make our relationship stronger.
You've done all of this research now. Why is it, do you think, that we are so obsessed with the idea of love?
You know, it's one of these really powerful psychological states that seems mysterious. It feels like a lightning bolt coming down from the sky when you love at first sight. Or these really intense moments of love are certainly the most memorable, but it could be that they're not the most consequential in terms of our longevity and our health. The research has shown in the past that mild, low-intensity, but frequent positive experiences are the ones that may be nourishing us the most on a day-to-day basis.
Barbara Fredrickson is a psychologist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Jim Fleming talked with her last year about her new book, Love 2.0.
I feel it in my fingers, I feel it in my toes.